Hey, I'm Natalie Abbott.
And I'm Vera Schmitz. We are sisters who host the Dwell Differently podcast.
We help you memorize and meditate on one Bible verse every month. And all month long on our podcast, we talk about what that verse means, why it matters, and how we can apply that verse to our daily lives. Hey, welcome back to the Dwell Differently podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Abbott, and today I've got an awesome bonus episode for you. I so enjoyed listening to this conversation, and I know that you will too. Matt Schmitz, Vera's husband, who is my co-founder of Dwell Differently, I'm sure you're familiar with her. He's the one being the host today. He's interviewing Jared Lopez from Dad Tired. If you remember earlier in the month, Jared was with me and was talking about our verse about treasuring Christ. And today in our bonus episode, Matt is just talking through sort of the pressure, the exhaustion, even the failures of men and the difficulties of men and dads and just their goal, their desire to follow Christ. So even if you're a woman who's listening to this, I can encourage you. This is such a great episode. It gives us kind of some insight into the men in our lives that we love. And he just talks about the life-giving power of scripture memory, of the God of the Bible, who loves us in the middle of our mess and failure. And he shares his own story about how God rescued him out of one of the darkest seasons of his own life and marriage. So for anybody who's struggling a little bit in your marriage, man, this is just such a great episode. And there's so much joy and encouragement in his story. So I would just encourage you to listen to the end because that's when he tells that story. And it is just such a great conversation. I'm so glad you're here with us. And without further ado, here's Matt and Jared.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Dwell Differently podcast. This is Dads Who Dwell Takeover Edition, I think. And I'm really happy to be here with Jared Lopez. Jared, great to connect with you. I know we just got the chit-chat for a minute before we hit record, but man, just really happy to have you here and looking forward to our conversation today. Would you mind just telling us a little bit about yourself, about Dad Tired, and then we can go from there?
Yeah. Well, I'm super grateful to be here, man. I appreciate it. I love the name Dads Who Dwell, by the way. I think that there should be a whole marketing campaign around that. That's really clever. Yeah, man, I'm a man just trying to figure out what it looks like to love Jesus, to be a son of the Most High. I'm trying to rest my identity. I say that one as an introduction, but two as just a reminder to myself that that's my greatest identity. I have to remind myself of that daily. When I do, I find that I'm a better husband and father and man. And when I look for my identity and anything else, I tend to not do as well. So that's just me preaching to myself there for a second. So yeah, loved by Jesus. I'm a husband of almost 14 years now to my wife, Layla. And then we have four kids from 12 years old down to 2 years old. And I was just telling you right before we hit record that my two-year-old is like going through a sleep rebellion. So I haven't slept through the night in the last couple nights, which I had gotten out of that like newborn phase. And now I'm back into a disrupted sleep. And I'm such a baby. I don't know how women seem to generally do this way better than men. I'm just such a baby, dude. It's like the man cold for sleep. When I sleep well, I'm so useless during the day. So I feel that a little bit right now. But anyway, that's nutshell.
So emphasis on the T in Dad Tired right now. Exactly. Can you tell us about Dad Tired?
Yeah, Dad Tired is it's a ministry. We're a nonprofit ministry. Our goal is to help men lead their family well. So we try to create as many resources as possible to get in the hands of guys to equip them that they can be the spiritual leaders of their home. We have the name Dad Tired, so obviously it's focused towards dads. But I always tell guys pretty honestly that I'm tricking them. The real goal is that we're actually a men's ministry just focused on the gospel. And so we talk about parenting stuff, but we really talk about what does it look like for you as a man to have your heart captured by Jesus? And when that happens, everything else changes. And so we're really a gospel ministry for men. And we just use the name Dad Tired, which actually kind of, it's a non-threatening name. A lot of guys who are dads are like, oh, I'll check this out. That doesn't seem too threatening. And they'll engage with it. And they'll find pretty quickly that we're really just a gospel ministry. We want to point guys back to the gospel.
Mm. Yeah, we were talking ahead of time just about that sleep thing. And man, let me tell you, we continually pray for good sleep in our house. So I feel you there. But we were also saying how, you know, us talking now, we're really probably talking to an audience of like 90% women. And one thing that I think we like to get into here is just in our home, either as dads or in the relationship that we're in, just providing that perspective for spiritual leadership or family leadership. So, you know, what does it look like? Just give us something maybe really, really practical as we start here. What would you encourage families or dads to do in terms of leadership in their home?
Yeah. So half of our Dad Tired audience is probably women as well. I know for a fact it is on social media. I can see the numbers. And so Wow. We have about 50% of our social media following are women. And I think that's
pause there. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it's because women, for a couple of reasons. One, they like to be a fly on the wall. Like, what are the guys talking about? Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what the men are talking about. And then the other part is women often carry the baton of spiritual leadership in homes, statistically. And so they are trying to gather as many resources as possible to lead their families, because husbands oftentimes aren't stepping into that role. And then I hear all the time guys say, I found you through my wife. My wife sent me the podcast. My wife sent me your book, those kinds of things. And it's because women are just, they understand the importance of having a family centered around Jesus, and they're trying their best to find as many resources as possible, which is why probably the 90% of people we're talking to right now are women. And for the same reason, they're just trying to find ways to do that, because frankly, men have failed in that area pretty massively to lead their families. Oftentimes for a guy, they think through leadership as financial. So I'm going to just make sure our bills get paid. I'm going to protect my family financially, have a house to sleep, a roof to sleep under, and food to eat. And I've done my part. And they've really missed the massive role that God has called them to, which is to lead their family toward Jesus. The most important, it has way more eternal ramifications than food. As Jesus would say, you need to eat of me, not just bread. Bread will come and go, but you need to eat of me. And so we need more men that are eating of Jesus, so to speak, and focus less on just the practicalities. I think that's because men feel competent in their ability to provide. So physical protection, a man can feel confident in that. Physical or provisions, it's really clean cut. But most men don't feel competent in leading their family spiritually. Most dudes don't even want to be called a leader. That's really intimidating. Then you put the word spiritual in front of it. A spiritual leader? I know very, very few guys who would say, yeah, I want to be a spiritual leader. That's a super intimidating title. And guys just don't feel competent in it. So they abdicate that to their wife and just say, you seem like you know this stuff better than I do. So I'll just let you take the lead.
A follow-up question to what you just said is, if we were just talking to a group of men right now, I mean, how would you encourage the men to, you know, take that back? Doesn't make it sound like the partnership in the household that, you know, I think God created it to be at the very
least. I think that guys don't lead in this area for a couple of reasons. One is because nobody taught them how to do it. And so that's part of their incompetent feeling. Like, I don't know what to do. I didn't have a dad to teach me that. I grew up personally, this is me speaking, I grew up without my dad and the home. He bailed when I was 3. So it's either ignorance, they don't know what to do. And then the other category is shame. I think a lot of dudes don't lead because they have shame, either from past sins or current sins or just where they're at with the Lord. How am I going to lead my family to Jesus when I personally don't even feel close to Jesus? I don't even know where I stand with God, let alone trying to point my wife and my kids to God. Like, that just feels so overwhelming. Whatever you're believing, if you are not leading your family because of shame, because you feel like God probably wouldn't be happy with me, he probably is disappointed. I know God loves the whole world, but he probably doesn't like me because he's probably pretty disappointed in me and my behavior. You are just not believing in the God of the Bible. That's actually idolatry. The God of the Bible, from the very first pages of Scripture, Genesis 3, all the way through Revelation, is a God who pursues broken and messy people. And then he takes their mess and he starts to redeem it and then use them for his glory and for their good. And that's the God of the Bible. And so that's why I say we're a gospel ministry, because if guys can start to understand that if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus, if you are a disciple of his, God does not see you full of shame. He's not looking at you as a man thinking, oh, geez, like, dude, this guy, like, I thought he'd be a lot further along in his journey than he is now. Like, that's just not the way that God looks at you. If you are a follower of Jesus, God looks at you with pure delight. You are my son. Man, I love you. My good thoughts about you outnumber the grains of sand on the earth. If a man really could like lean into that daily, that he could wake up daily, be honest with his sin personally, and maybe with another brother, be honest with it, confess it, repent, and then just rest in the grace of Jesus. That God, even in the midst of that, he's taking that brokenness, he's changing it, and he delights in me. My value is not based on what I can do and what I can provide, how much money I make. My value is based that the God of the universe delights in me. I don't know how a dude hears that, rests in that, meditates on that, and doesn't love his wife better, doesn't pursue his kids. That's why we're a gospel ministry, because it changes everything.
There's so much for me to react to there because I identify with so much of it. I mean, I grew up in a wonderful home. My mom and dad were present, went to church. And, you know, as a married father of three, standing here now, 11 years into marriage, thinking, man, am I actually doing this? Am I actually leading in the way that I would have thought it would look like when I was 15 or 16 years old envisioning this? There's times where the answer is yes. There's times where it's no. But I guess what I'm thinking is, what has helped me immensely in the last few years is just a little bit at a time. Just the thought of a little bit at a time. Just one more step. Just one more thing that I can do to lead my family. What's one more thing I can do, little thing, that I can do to model spiritual leadership in my home? And lately, it's been when our son Isaiah wakes up, I'm downstairs reading my Bible when he comes down. Lately, it's been praying scripture over my kids, over my family. And for me, that's given me encouragement that it doesn't have to be this giant leap forward to be the spiritual leader. So just shifting gears here a little bit, can you talk through, you know, what, Dwell, obviously our focus is scripture memorization and just the power of internalizing God's word, praying that over yourself, over your family, believing in that truth. Can you just talk through, how does that tie in here? What does scripture have to do with any of this? And maybe you cover this on your conversation with Natalie, but just the original connection of Dad Tired to Dwell Differently. Could you just tell that story for a second? Because as a longtime listener of Dad Tired, Vera was like, oh, this guy, Jared Lopez from Dad Tired, you know, said that he's really loving Dwell. I was like, oh, I know exactly who that is. I've listened to his podcast. I had this great mentor of mine. His name is Drew Niffen, who, you know, shared a lot of your work and podcast with me early on in my life. So it was really, you know, amazing when Dwell and Dad Tired got connected. But could you just kind of tell that story for a second and then maybe tie this back to just the importance of scripture in the home or in our families?
Yeah, so I am a huge fan of Dwell. Even before, we have like an official partnership now where I'm talking about Dwell pretty consistently on the Dad Tired podcast. You guys have really supported the Dad Tired ministry, but even before there was any kind of official partnership together, I was just a huge fan of Dwell. I was using you guys in my own home. I think it's one of the most practical ways that a guy can lead his family to Jesus. Like, the hurdles are so low. I mean, you guys send these packets out in the mail. My kids love them. It's like sometimes embarrassing because my daughters especially will like tattoo their whole, they got like sleeves of the temporary tattoos.
My three-year-old's got some sleeves right now for sure.
Just for weeks. And so it's just so easy. Actually, I was telling you guys, or telling about you guys too, I've become good friends with Ben Roethlisberger, who's, you know, former quarterback of the Steelers. He's become a good friend of mine. And he got, now his kids are all tatted up and stuff.
So, that's amazing.
It's really, really cool, man. Like, what you guys are doing is just absolutely incredible. But yeah, the importance of scripture goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is we are all susceptible of making up who we want God to be in our own heads. We will build up a God who we want to look like us and sound like us and act like us. And usually our God thinks the way we think. He justifies things the way we justify things. He's mad at the people we're mad at. He votes the way we vote. You know, it's like, that's again called idolatry. And so why do we go back to the scripture? Well, because God has a reputation. It's not just the spiritual discipline. It's like, I better check this box off, tithe this much, memorize some scripture, get up early and pray. All of it, all of those beautiful spiritual disciplines point back to, I want to know the person. We're not studying a subject. We're studying a person. We're getting to know a person. I want to know the person of God. What is he like? Because when I know him more deeply, again, it changes who I am as a man. It impacts every moment of my life as I get to know this man, Jesus, the Father, God, the Holy Spirit. And I can't do that without having the scriptures written on my heart. And I will leave this interview and we're talking about Jesus and I'll go back into the real world. My kids will throw a tantrum. I'll get in my car and some guy might flip me off on the road and I'll deal with a grumpy cashier at the grocery store. Like, all of these things are going to play out in real life. And that is when the meditations of the scripture, God's reputation, has to be written on my heart. Where it, like, what we've been practicing gets played out in the real world. Who is God and how is he changing me? And how does that impact the guy who flipped me off, the toddler who's throwing a tantrum, and the grumpy cashier or whatever it is? So this is why it's so important. There's no way to live a life like Jesus unless you spend time with Jesus. And so I have to have his reputation and who he is and his character written on my heart daily and constantly.
Yeah. And I think that's obviously, I think, what Dwell strives for, is just making that approachable and practical. And often when I'm talking to friends, like other men, and I'm trying to explain Dwell, it's like a hard thing to explain, actually. It's like, what's this thing that your wife Vera and her sister Natalie are doing? Well, they focus on scripture memorization, and the way they do it is they have the first letter of each word, and there's these, like, it's a really hard thing to explain. So what Vera and I often say, because sort of the beginning story of Dwell was when Vera was competing at a high level in track and field, she had sports psychologists. And so much of what sports psychology teaches is about how you talk to yourself. And it works. It works. But what we realized in the years and the years and the years that she was competing and working with sports psychologists is, oh man, it works, but it's just a little off, right? At the very end of the day, it is missing the actual truth. It's not about, you know, what I believe I am or who I am. It's who God believes I am and how I pray about myself, how I pray and view myself. And so as I find myself explaining to other guys what Dwell does, I'm like, it's kind of like, I don't know, if you've ever been an athlete and, you know, sports psychology, except it like really is the full truth. It is the full truth where you are saying scripture over yourself. So, yeah. You know, in its most practical sense, for your own person, for your family, bringing that truth and knowing what the truth is about you, what God says about you, and then living that out, I think is, yeah. You know, would be our greatest hope for people.
Yeah. I feel obligated to just share with the women, because I know so many women are listening. Do you mind if I share just something that's on my heart for the women listening? The thing that's heavy on my heart, as I know so many women are listening to this podcast, is even when you described that the little ways that you're trying to pursue Jesus, you know, like, I want to wake up and I want my kids to catch me reading scripture, and I'm going to pray the scriptures over them. I can't help but think that there are so many wives who are like, man, I would give anything for my husband to do that. So what might feel small to you, Matt, like, these are just little ways. I know so many wives who are like, literally, I would do anything to catch my husband reading scripture, to pray with my kids. Are you kidding me? Like, to have my husband pray with my kids would be a miracle. And so I just want to acknowledge that there's probably a heaviness for a lot of women listening to this right now, and that they might be leaving with some disappointment, like, or discouragement, I should say. And so I just want to speak to that for a second, because I don't want the women to leave here feeling that. There are a couple of things I want to say to you. If you're a wife or a woman listening and you resonate with that, I just want to speak to you for a second. First, Dad Tired did not start because I was this great spiritual leader and I thought, you know, this is going to be an awesome way to equip men. Dad Tired started unintentionally when my wife and I were in the middle of what I thought would be a divorce, which was the reputation of every man in my family. Layla and I were fighting daily. I quite literally we were avoiding each other. We weren't talking at all. And I remember the day I was sitting in my car and I Googled divorce lawyers near me, which, you know, it's one thing. If you've been married long enough, you've had weird thoughts about marriage. We've all been in weird spots and you think weird things. But to actually take something out of your brain and to type it into your phone was kind of, it was, that hit me different. And my son was 3 at the time. And that's the age that I was when my dad bailed on my family. And so it was messing with me. But I was like, there's no way that our marriage is going to be restored. We're in such a bad spot. I was in a deep depression. I was not anything like what I've been describing the man should be. Like, I was isolated, alone, rebellious, mean, in sin. Like, I was in a really, really bad spot. P.S. I was a pastor at the time. So I wasn't, like, you know, oftentimes, just as a side note, your pastors are struggling quietly, probably without you knowing. But anyway, so that was my story. And I remember we were fighting in our bedroom one day, and which was very normal for us to fight all the time. And so we're fighting, and Layla's much smarter than me. And so every time we would get in a fight, she would outsmart me, and it would make me so mad. I fight out of emotion. She fights out of logic, and I hate it because she was like playing chess, and I'm playing checkers, you know? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. She could outsmart me. That's the history of us fighting. But in this moment, I remember thinking to myself, you know what? I'm just going to say something to hurt her. Like, I'm just going to get her emotionally worked up. That was my tactic that day. And so I said something. I don't even remember exactly what I said, but I knew I was just going for the jugular just to hurt her. And so I said something to her and she started to cry. And dude, I was in such a dark place that I remember thinking to myself, I'm winning. Like, I'm up in this fight. I was happy to see her crying. And she looked at me and she said, Jared, I just want you to know that I've been waking up in the middle of the night. I've been setting my alarm and I've been going out into the living room and I've been begging God to capture your heart again. And dude, I was not ready for that. Like, I was ready to fight. I was ready to hash things out, but I was not ready for my wife to tell me she'd been waking up quietly and begging God that my heart would be captured by him again. And Romans says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And it was God's kindness through Layla that day that started to soften my heart. It wasn't her nagging. She could have been like, Jared, you need to read your Bible more. Why aren't you leading us as the family? She could have rightly accused me of a million things, but it was actually her kindness that started to draw my heart. And so I just want to say, one, for a wife listening that might feel discouraged, like, don't underestimate the power of prayer. Your husband doesn't need behavior modification. He needs his heart radically changed by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. And you do not possess the ability to change his heart. Not your nagging, not your consistent, not your whatever tactic you're going to try to use to change his heart. You can't do it. There's only one heart changer, and that's the Holy Spirit. You need to beg God. If your husband is not leading, if he's far from God, if he's not doing what you would long for him to do, then just please beg God. Do not underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And so beg God on his behalf and live in such a way that would cause him to maybe feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit as he watches your life peacefully, lovingly, graciously pursuing him. And it will change his heart. By God's grace, I pray that that would be true. And I know I'm talking a lot here, but I just want to say one more thing, if that's okay.
Please.
Your husband, again, I'm talking to you wives listening. Again, he's probably quietly struggling with a lot of things. And you may think that he has other outside influences that speak loudly to him. And he might, his boss, he's maybe has some friends, maybe he watches some news shows or follows Twitter accounts or whatever he's doing to get influenced. But I will say for most men, you are likely the loudest and most influential voice in his life, whether you know it or not. He is listening to what you say, and what you say has deep power in his life. And so it's powerful for a woman, a wife, to look at their husband and say, listen, I love you and I'm committed to you. Regardless of what you've done or where you've been, you could tell me anything and I'm with you. I want to partner with God to see you become the man I know he's called you to be. To give your wife or to give your husband that kind of safety, it may be an absolute life changer for him. He is longing to be fully seen, fully known, and fully loved. And you, and probably you alone, have the ability to give him a glimpse of the gospel, to say, I see all of who you are, your brokenness, your mess. I know you're not a perfect man, but I see all of you and I love you deeply. And I'm committed until all the hairs on my head turn gray and my hands turn wrinkly. I am committed to partnering with God to see you become the man he has called you to be. I love you. I believe in you. And I know you have what it takes to lead us well. You say those words to your husband, and God will use you to speak life into him and start to change him. And so just know you are most likely the most influential voice in his life. So speak life into him. I promise you he's listening.
Jared, that's so good. That's so good. And thank you just for your vulnerability and sharing your story and just for that perspective. I think that's what we were hoping to do here today, is just give that perspective, kind of the man's perspective of spiritual leadership. So, man, I don't think we need to add anything beyond that. For somebody listening who wants to introduce their husband, Too Dad Tired, what's the right on-ramp? Is there like a podcast you'd point people to? Is there a, you know, social media account? What's the right first step?
Yeah, I think for most guys, probably the podcast is going to be most helpful for them. So, you know, it's just called the Dad Tired Podcast. We're all on social media, but social media oftentimes leans towards women. And so I don't know if the husbands would dive into social media as strongly as they would probably dive into the podcast. So the podcast, and then for the wives listening, any episode with my wife on would probably be most enjoyable. I have her on maybe once a quarter, and she comes on and we talk about just marriage and parenting stuff. That would probably be helpful for the wives to hear both of our perspectives on this. And honestly, just go through, we've got over 400 episodes of the Dad Tired Podcast. So just pick an episode that looks like it's a topic that your husband might resonate with and send it over to him. And hopefully God would use that to capture his heart.
I'll second the podcast as a longtime podcast listener. There is a lot of good stuff, a variety of topics, and really digestible, really approachable conversation too. So Jared, let's just wrap it up there, man. Really appreciate you. Appreciate Dad Tired, the ministry you're doing. Just thanks for your time today.
Yeah, man. This was fun. Thank you.
Hey, we got a Christmas sale going on right now at dwelldifferently.com. And I just have to tell you guys, these are the best prices of the year. We want to give you the ability to give your friends Christ-centered Christmas presents. You can give gift memberships for 4 months, for 8 months, or 12 months of the year. That is an awesome present to give somebody, the ability to easily memorize God's word. We have necklaces, we have bags, we have all kinds of awesome things. We have gift cards even. But if you are a podcast listener, we want to give you an extra 10% off of the sale just for being our loyal listener. That code that you can use on our sale is extra10. And if you order by December 2nd, you can get free gifts with your purchases of certain amounts. We've got some really great bonus gifts. So again, this is the best sale of the year. Use the podcast code extra10 for an extra 10% off. Merry Christmas, y'all.